There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to Not Another Mummy Podcast with me, Alison Perry. This week, my guest is Binky Felstead, who you very possibly know from her time on TV show Made in Chelsea. Binky is a mum to 2-year-old India, who was actually napping while we chatted over a cuppa in Binky's West London home. And then India woke up and Binky hit pause on our chat while she took her to nursery, proving that mum life never stops, even if you're a celebrity. It was really great to chat to Binky about her experiences as a mum, about the Mummy Tribe retreats that she runs, and about mum shaming, which is something that all of us, I'm sure, have dealt with in some form. You know, when you get a snarky comment on a Facebook post or in a WhatsApp group from someone making a bit of a judgment about your parenting choices, like, oh, I can't believe you've given them fish fingers again, or how much screen time your kids have. I'm sure we have all been there. So it was really great to hear from Binky on what she thinks about mum shaming and so much more about motherhood. So I hope you enjoy listening to our chat. Binky, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me on the podcast.
We're sat here in your lovely home drinking a cup of tea. I've got Earl Grey, which I think is very fitting. Because it's quite a posh tea, isn't
it? Apparently, but you're not supposed to have milk with
Earl Grey. I know. I'm really bad. I always have milk.
I have to have milk with it. Yeah. It doesn't feel right.
It really doesn't.
No. Luckily, I had sugar. I was going to give you some honey in that as well, because we don't normally have sugar in the house.
I love it. Do you know what? The first time I ever had Earl Grey, I ordered regular tea. I got Earl Grey, and I was convinced that somebody hadn't washed the cup up, and it still tasted of lemon washing up liquid. That's how uncouth I am.
Do you not like it?
I do like it. I just wasn't expecting it. I'd never had Earl Grey before. I had no idea it had a citrusy taste.
I think I've always had Earl Grey. I've never known. Felt the citrusy part of it before.
I love it. Yeah, I think I'm probably like a PG Tips girl through and through.
I like a good old PG Tips. Yeah. On a hangover, that sorts you out.
Yeah, it really does. So, motherhood. What kind of mum would you say that you are?
I think I'm quite relaxed, laid back, kind of... I think my mum's had a bit of an influence on me on that, because she's always said, well, back in my day, we never used to worry about this, that and the other, and, you know, it's all very chilled. And I think because of that, I've taken on that approach.
Yeah.
And in return, I feel India's kind of really chilled because of it.
Yeah. Kids definitely do reflect back the way you are with them.
Yeah.
And I think that parents who have more than one child quite often say, with my first, I was really stressed and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then the baby was quite fussy. And then second, third child, calm, chilled, because you kind of feel a bit more relaxed. So that's so nice that you're first, you've been like that.
Yeah, but also I am the third child. I was 10 years after. I'm a coil baby.
And so a coil baby.
I was a complete surprise, mistake, but mum says surprise, obviously. And I think because I was the third and so young, I was 10 years younger than my brother and my sister, I was completely like left to my own devices. Obviously, I had a lovely upbringing, amazing upbringing, but it was very chilled.
Yeah.
And kind of got away with what I wanted to do. You know, I was told off if I was naughty, but it was very kind of relaxed.
Yeah.
It was in the country, so... It was just, I kind of want to replicate that for India.
How did you find having a 10-year age gap between you and your next siblings? I've got 8 years between my eldest and my two baby twins.
So, yeah, I quite like it. Did I get away with all sorts. And also, I had a cooler older brother.
Did they hang out with you, or are they a little bit like,
no, they were too old to hang out with me. But I used to, I like worshipped my brother growing up. And I think the older I got, the more I worshipped him. I mean, he did all his good looking friends coming to stay at the weekends and the best parties and... You know, it was all like a really fun... My house, you know, growing up was a very open door policy. Like all my friends and my parents' friends used to come over whenever they wanted.
Yeah.
And there's always a bottle of wine kicking about or whatever. And it's just a very, really... that's why I love being around people. I want the same when I have my house. I want it to be kind of really open door policy.
Sociable.
Everyone welcome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think India's also really sociable because since she was a baby, obviously I haven't got a 9-to-5 job. I kind of go here, I go there. I've got... random meetings or whatnot, and I've always taken her with me to everything, so in return I feel like she's really sociable and quite chilled. Like, I mean, I'll say that there's a couple of times recently where I've had to like go home early because it's the terrible twos, I call it now.
But it's definitely tricky. We were saying this, weren't we, before we started recording, that that two is challenging. But it's so much fun. But you definitely have moments where you're just like...
I'm a slave.
Your blood pressure is rising and you're like...
Ooh. I'm definitely a slave. I mean, even so, she's not feeling very well today. So I was like, right, you can watch Peppa Pig in mummy's bed. Get under the... And she gets under and she gets really excited. And then I found myself giving her... like feeding her fish and chips and like things in bed. I was thinking, what am I doing? She's like, more. And ordering me up and down the stairs.
Oh, living her best life.
She really
Peppa
was.
Pig and lunch in bed.
Yeah, being fed to her. Spoon fed to her.
Love it.
Yeah.
I'm a bit envious.
I know. I wish I was still that age.
Well, that's so nice then. That it does sound like you are replicating that kind of relaxed attitude. And it's, you know...
It's relaxed, but it's also strict. I don't want her to get away with something that she's not supposed to. Or I've always find... it's very hard to like other people's children.
Do you know what? You're so right.
And I don't like particularly many children other than my own, my own daughter. But that's because I think the parents have either kind of maybe spoilt them a little bit, or they haven't kind of given them the... You know, I was told off properly, and you know, I had a lot of respect for my parents in being told off and whatever. So I think you've got to kind of make sure other people like your children.
I think boundaries are important,
yes,
aren't they?
Of course,
and teaching your kids boundaries and... It's really hard sometimes, though, to enforce those when actually the easiest thing to do would just be to kind of let things go and let things slide. And, you know, no one said parenting is easy. So, and what have the highs and lows been for you in the last 2 years?
Highs and lows. I think just watching her develop every day. I mean, she's starting to say little sentences now, and obviously her walking was really exciting. Just watching her develop into a little human being. I mean, and she's a really fun, really happy little one as well. She loves dancing and she's very creative. I think the lows are when you're just feeling completely shot, tired, drained. There's things going on in my life that, you know, hasn't been particularly pleasant. So I think that's probably definitely the lows. But no matter how low you're feeling, it's actually, you still get up and do it every day, and actually that makes you feel better.
Yeah, but you've got to, you've got no choice, no matter what.
Well, no, exactly.
Whatever crap's going on, you know.
And it makes everything so much better.
Yeah.
Just taking her to the park, you know, and it sounds so corny, but like, so I appreciate everything so much more now. Even like just nature and getting out, it's a drizzly day, I take her to the park, and it's just so good to be outside and watching her have fun.
So, it gives you perspective, doesn't it? Also, I think being a parent sometimes makes you really think about things that you take for granted. So as a kind of weird example, I remember when my daughter was about 3, walking her to nursery, and her saying to me, but mummy, where... I think we passed some people digging the road up.
Yeah.
And she mentioned Peppa Pig and how they dig up the road on Peppa Pig. And she was like, why are they doing that? And I was like, well, there are pipes under there. So I started explaining to her how water and gas and electricity get into our homes. And I was thinking,
this
is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, we live in such an amazing world. And I take it all for granted.
I mean, I'm surprised you managed to tell her that worked. That's what I'm dreading, homework. I'm going to be so awful at getting homework
Do you know what? The kind of the key to homework is that as a parent, you're not
Google.
Really meant... Google for a start. But you're not meant to actually help them do it, in that you're not meant to give them the answers.
Yeah.
So it's totally fine if you don't know the answer to be throwing it back to the child and say, well, if you don't know that, then just put what you think.
Yes, okay, I like that.
Because actually teachers don't like it when kids come in with work that's clearly been done by the the parent giving them the answers.
Yeah, okay, fine. So it's that's a good tip. I like that. Okay, perfect. So I'm really panicking about that.
Remember that for the next few years. How would you describe your first year of motherhood? Because it can be quite a kind of brutal, emotionally as well as physically tough time.
I was one of the first of my friends to have a baby, get pregnant, have babies. So actually, it was all really exciting. Of course, I don't really remember the first few weeks, but I remember just getting on with it. And like my mum, you know, I remember breastfeeding and trying to exclusively breastfeed. And I think we had friends upstairs having cooking us dinner. And I was downstairs on the phone to my mum, FaceTime, just crying my eyes out because I wasn't producing enough milk. She was a really hungry baby. I didn't want to give her formula, but my mum was like, give her the blooming formula. If you're this tired, you're trying hardest, give yourself a break. And that's why I'm such a massive advocate for, obviously, don't put yourself under so much pressure, because we're all doing the best we can. And, you know, your baby's going to be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And so I remember being passed a glass of red wine and just literally going, formula, wine, and that just completely cut. And just hearing someone say, take the pressure off yourself. And that's I think that's such a massive thing when I have my friends that are now getting pregnant, is just to say, just do what you can.
Yeah.
Don't put too much pressure on yourself, and don't listen to too much advice, because there's so much conflicting advice.
There's so much advice, and it can be really confusing, especially when you also have like relatives or friends saying, well, this is what I did.
Yeah. And of course, parents do that. My mum did do that. But I actually would prefer her to be like that than, well, I hope you've written down how much you fed her at this time and what boob and blah, 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 blah. Like, that would just be, I couldn't work like that.
Yeah.
I would hate that. But of course, if you do it your own way, everyone's great doing the best thing, the best they can.
Yeah.
But I think that was the scary, I think more for me than anything, it was just the fear of the unknown and what people were telling me was going to happen. But
did you get scare stories? Did you get people saying
to
you?
Yeah, loads of scare. I'd never be able to wash my teeth or, you know, have a shower again. How my
never again.
Yeah,
that's it.
Never again. Not for ages. How my, because I was 27, 28, I can't remember, when I had India. So I was still quite young, and my friends was, like I told you, were still going out. And I thought, well, I'm going to be so boring now. No one's going to want to hang out with me. And actually, I didn't want to hang out with them anymore. I've got my new group of mummy friends that I adore. And I have way more fun than I ever have done. And I don't want to go out. I don't occasionally like go for dinners or have people over. But I didn't realise that my life would change so much for the better.
Yeah.
So, and I thought it was going to go really downhill and like, you know, but I know that I was very lucky. I know that's not the same for everyone, and I really feel that for people.
And you were clearly ready for that change, because I guess some people still kind of feel total FOMO when they see their friends going out.
I don't feel FOMO. I think it's I just think I've grown up so much, and I needed to grow up quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I've grown up so much since having her, and I have never been happier. Even though circumstances have been tricky recently, I've got my angel now, and I call her that. Like, she's everything to me. And I don't really care what, you know, all I can be is the best version of myself for her.
Yeah, that's so nice. Are you still involved with running the Mummy Tribe?
Yes.
Because that's, looking at what you were doing with that, what you are doing with that, it feels like that's very much creating support for new mums.
Yeah.
Was that important to you, that you do something?
Absolutely. Well, it was originally just going to be a boot camp for, it was going to be a boot camp before I got pregnant. Then I got pregnant and I had India. And then I was like, right, I need to kind of lose some of this baby weight. I wasn't feeling happy with myself. And there was nowhere that I could take India to. I didn't want to leave her. I wanted to take her with me. She was, you know, a few months old. So there was nothing out there. So I was like, cool, well, I'll just make my own one up then, you know. And so it started off just being a boot camp for new mums to bring their babies, and they've got a full-time creche team there. But then we quickly realised it's so much more than fitness. It's obviously mental health, the lifestyle, you know, everything. We forget that we're literally supposed to know everything at once, and there's everything supposed to be kind of planned out, but it's not. So what we've done with Mummy Tribe is get about 15 mums with their babies to come down, have a bit of that you time back. Their kids are in the creche team if they want them to be, you know, all day. And we have everything from a sleep coach, physiotherapist, psychotherapist, nutritionists, stylists. We've got Secret Spa there, which is a beauty therapy. So you can come down and get all this information under one roof, and you're all in the same boat, and you meet, everyone's kind of made friends. It's like another NCT group kind of
thing.
That's
so nice.
So it's really important, because we've got so many mums that have come and said, oh God, I felt I really hate my husband. You know, they all sit around the table after a bottle of wine. And then I really hate my husband. He gets to go off to work every day and I feel so shit just sat there.
I was that person. Yeah. When I had my first, my husband was going off to work every day. I was just like, this is so unfair.
Yeah. But also they were all really freaking out, being like, I think I want a divorce. And they're getting more and more wine in them. They're going, oh my God, don't worry, me too. I feel exactly the same way. And then they were going, me too, me too. And then everyone just started talking about how they all hated their husbands or how they felt this way or that way. And everyone just said, yes, we all feel the same. And it made everyone just go, oh, okay, we're feeling, that's normal.
It's such a relief, isn't it, to kind of have that feeling of I'm not alone in whatever it is you're thinking.
Absolutely.
Knowing that it's not just you experiencing that. Yeah, it's so reassuring, isn't it?
Absolutely. And even just, you know, 1 in 3, I believe, mothers have postnatal depression, and I didn't know that. Mm. And we've had so many mums that didn't realise that they're suffering.
Yeah.
And they've had a one-on-one counselling session, and they've come out just so relieved and feeling so much better. And it's just amazing that they come away, and some of them have said, listen, that was the best, you know, experience. And they've got their husbands to meet up afterwards, and they're all kind of hanging
out. Oh, really?
Out. Yeah, so it's really lovely.
Oh, I love it. It sounds so, so good. So you've recently announced that you're in a new relationship. Can we talk about that?
Yes.
We can. Yeah. I don't want to delve into it. I'm not going to ask you for any details. Yeah. But you guys look really happy together. I saw you did a thing in, was it Hello Magazine?
Yeah, yeah.
You look so happy.
Yeah, he hated doing that.
Did he? I did wonder, because he's not...
He's a businessman.
Yeah.
He basically just went along with the fact that he's like, it'd be really big-headed of me to think that people actually be interested in me. It's more, he's done it for me. And he's like, do you know what, you should try everything once. I've worked out it's definitely not for me.
I did wonder that when I saw the spread, you know, in Hello, I thought, yeah, he's a businessman. Is he a bit like, oh, this is a bit cringe?
He didn't like it.
Did he not?
But again, he's just kind of really open to trying like new things, like I said. And he said, right, do you know what, I've done it now. Didn't like it, so that's it now.
But it's a nice way of you to kind of announce
also,
that you're in a relationship.
That was it. I think the main thing for me doing it is not because I wanted him and I to be in Hello Magazine, even though I love the publication. They followed my story for ages with India. It was more the fact that I wanted to get the actual facts straight, because there's so much hearsay and speculation in the press about everything, you know, anyone does. And rather than just being pictured out with Max and then, you know, it's all like this kind of
people delving on,
you know, unsources and speaking about it. So it just was like, right, here's the facts, here's what's going on, cool, there you go, done. And then that's it. Do you know what I mean?
That must be really hard though, like, especially being a mum, how do you handle being in the public eye and having people delving and having like a source says. I mean, that whole kind of Colleen Rooney thing, like,
oh my
recently
God.
Where a friend of hers was apparently giving information to a newspaper. How do you handle that?
I've actually never really had that before. I've been fairly lucky with the press. I kind of always worn my heart on my sleeve, so what you see is what you get with me. And I don't think I'm really that interesting, to be honest. But I think it was all very... It was lots of hype around India, me being pregnant. Mm. And obviously, when I had India, I was being followed left, right and centre by paps. And it was really irritating. But now it's really calmed down. And I think it's more of, if anyone ever says anything about me, my parenting, that's when I will bite back, if it's unjustified. But if they talk about me or whatever, I don't really care, because it's great, you can block people on Instagram, no one ever looks in the public eye on Daily Mail comments, because they're always horrific. I mean, you could have a terminal illness and it would still be your fault by a commenter, so there's no point. They're all just horrific people writing those things.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, because I kind of think about this quite a lot, and I do wonder about the people who
comment
on the Daily Mail or send, you know, really unkind DMs on Instagram, that kind of thing. And my theory, and it's not groundbreaking, is that these people are genuinely unhappy in some way, and that they're looking to bring other people down.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you say, you know, you could have a really inspirational piece about somebody who's had a terminal illness, and people will still find some way to criticize and bring them down.
It's disgusting.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we were talking about Max. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on introducing India to him? Because obviously I'm guessing you were cautious about
I kind of just, obviously, I waited as long as possible, so I knew that it was serious. And I was obviously very nervous. He's actually got loads of nieces and nephews, and so he was really kind of cool about it. But
were you nervous about telling him that you were a mum?
It was the first thing I said when he came up to me at the bar.
You said that in Hello Magazine, yeah, didn't you? I remember reading that.
I was like, so what do you do? Then I was like, I'm a mum. I think that's the most nerve-wracking thing. I was just really scared because I didn't really know any single mums in my position, friends-wise. And I felt like, oh my gosh, no one's going to want me because I've got, you know, a kid. And I'm 28 or 9 or whatever, and I just kind of felt really scared about it all. And my mum said, darling, you'll filter out the wankers.
Do you know what? That is so true.
Yeah.
Because actually, I mean, that's not to say that everyone who doesn't want children is a wanker.
Yeah.
But you would filter out those who were...
weren't serious.
Yeah. Yeah, and who exactly. were maybe, or maybe just a bit... you know, a bit immature,
yeah, exactly.
And not at that place in their life.
Yeah, and I really wasn't up for... I didn't expect to meet someone as quickly. I wasn't really kind of thinking... I mean, I remember he tried to pursue it and ask me on dates after we met, and I kept putting him off and off and off and off. And in the end, my mum was like, you've got... Like, what was it? I kept saying to mummy, I can't do it. I'm not ready, blah, blah, blah. India's my focus and everything. And I got this message from this girl... random lady on my Instagram inbox, and I do read through my messages occasionally, and it was this amazing message and I needed to hear it exactly that time. It said something like, Binky, my husband and I, or boyfriend and I, have broken up, and I haven't been able to meet anyone because I won't let myself meet anyone, and I feel slightly resentful that I'm spending all my time with my kids and not giving myself a life, and I'm potentially missing out on meeting the love of my life and to make me happy again with someone. And she said, so I really hope that you're not closing any doors, and I really hope you're kind of not too scared to meet someone, because I'm doing that now and it's not making me happy. And I told my mum this, and she goes, well, that's a bit of a sign, really.
Yeah.
Like, just go for it.
Did you message her back and then tell her?
I said, thank you so much. This message was amazing. Like, it was such a... And it's, I get loads of messages every day, and they're always like, oh, you know, what's India wearing? What are you wearing? Blah, 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 what are you doing? But that was a really lovely, poignant message that I just really needed to hear.
Yeah.
And mum's like, you need to look after yourself. You need to make sure that you're kind of... You're young. You need to have, you know, be taken out, be spoiled a little bit.
Have you heard that saying, you can't pour from an empty cup?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that really applies, where you actually do have to focus on yourself and your needs,
yes,
and what makes you happy,
yeah,
in order to be a really great mum.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's it, really. Like, it was, I went on the first date, it was amazing, and here we are now.
Yeah. And he's, like, obviously, I'm guessing, loves hanging out with India.
Yeah.
And
yeah, he's brilliant. They're great. She loves him, he loves her.
So we were talking about how you feel about being a mum in the public eye.
Yes.
And, you know, coping with comments that you get and messages. And I've seen you speaking in the past about mum shaming.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I want to ask you about, because it really feels like something that's happening increasingly. Why do you think that is? Well, for anyone who's listening who isn't aware of what mum shaming is, explain what it is.
It's basically, it's normally through social media, and it's kind of pulling you up on something that they don't agree on. Quite nasty, actually. I haven't really experienced too much mum shaming. I mean, the ones I've got, I immediately screenshot, put them on my stories and say, right, go. And like, with a binky, like, people just go, rah, 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 literally. And it's ridiculous things like, oh, well, you shouldn't send India to the nursery, she's still too young. Or, I can't believe you give her fish fingers, it's like how stupid. And it's the stuff that I actually find hysterical, because it's not, I'm quite strong to that. But then there's women out there who aren't as strong as I am to that, that are taking it personally and can get really upset. And I think I just like to kind of publicly shame them. And
so you're shaming the shamers.
Yeah, exactly. And because I just let the binky following just go for them. And they end up taking themselves off Instagram for a few days or hours or whatever, because they get so much abuse back. And I know that's probably not the most adult way to kind of deal with it. But I'm just thinking, I'm tired. I can't be bothered with this. Like, I'm not even going to... You are completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But again, it's like the Daily Mail commenters. Like, you just don't think... They can't be particularly happy themselves. And anyone that has such strong opinions... And I'm never going to get on with someone like that anyway. Like, I'm kind of just... I've never been opinionated, really. I don't think anyone really should be, unless... It's something horrific what you're doing, I know, but I've never really been one for kind of confrontation, but that's the only thing I will bite on back, is if anyone questions what I'm doing with my daughter, it's none of your business. We're all doing the best we can.
We really are. It's interesting though, isn't it? Because I really feel like there's something that shifts when we become mums, and I'm saying mums rather than parents, because this doesn't seem to be something that dads experience as much. Something shifts and people... feel that it's okay to share their opinions, no matter what the opinion is, what the situation is, and what the topic is. Whereas there seems to be more of a filter before you become a mum.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea. I think obviously social media's got a huge part to play in it. No one actually is saying anything face to face.
Yeah, and also even if you're just literally commenting on someone's Facebook status, like I really feel like mum shaming isn't something that only affects Binky, because you know she's in the public eye.
Yeah.
You could post a picture of your kid eating fish fingers on Facebook, and someone could comment saying, "Oh, like that's I'm surprised you're feeding your child fish fingers," and that is mum shaming.
But also, again, my mum's always said, "You ate exactly, you know, I ate fish fingers." She used to like be so blasé about not having to eat at the table occasionally. And I'm absolutely fine. I eat everything, apart from anchovies. I hate anchovies. But I eat everything, and I've got a really healthy appetite with food. And it's not even just about that. I think it's if you put those people in a room with you, they won't say anything.
Yeah.
And if I comment back to one of them saying, I'm really sorry for like that, they'll be nice back. But
people, I think people definitely feel that there's this anonymity of being online, and they forget that there's a real person reading the comments.
They don't know what's going on in my life. They can see from pictures. I mean, Instagram makes people's lives seem amazing, and it's all quite fake, actually. I like to be able to post both sides.
Yeah.
But of course, it's a bit of a CV in Instagram, so you kind of don't want to post the bad stuff all the time. You kind of want to, you know, promote things that, you know, happiness and whatever.
Yeah.
But actually, I think people that are commenting have no idea what's going on in my personal life. And if I mean, I dread to think what they'd do if someone did the same to them.
I know, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. Have you seen that there's a fairly new function on Instagram where you can kind of hide someone's comment, but they don't know that you've done it? So it disappears.
Oh.
So if someone's just being really mean to you, and you don't want to kind of
delete it
because that might make them worse. Also you don't want to get into a conversation with them about it. You can, I think there's some sort of hide button, but they think their comment's still there.
That's amazing. Well done, Instagram.
I think it's one of the things that they're rolling out to try and stop bullying on Instagram.
That's amazing,
so they're, I think they're really thinking about kids and teenagers using it.
Yeah.
And
I'm dreading India getting Instagram, dreading it.
It'll be something new by then.
I know.
It won't even be Instagram. It'll be...
I really loved... I mean, bullying happens at school. we all know that. And it's, you know, unless it's really horrific bullying. Like I was technically bullied at school, but it wasn't, you know, physical, and it was just not very nice. I didn't have a great, I hated my schools, 8 to 8.
You went to 8 schools?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I wasn't naughty, I just kept being moved around a lot. And I feel like it was just, but thank God there was no Facebook or Instagram then, because that's the last thing our kids need is that. And I hate the fact that these girls are kind of modelling themselves and other people in the public eye and trying to look like, I don't know, just, it makes, they're growing up, girls are growing up too quickly.
They are. I read this amazing blog post the other day. I will pop a link to it in the show notes of this episode, actually. And it's basically all the things that your teenager is doing to hide what they're doing online.
Yeah.
So it's basically telling you all of the kind of tricks they're using, so that if you're one step ahead and you're aware of what they're doing. But the ultimate message of this blog post is talk to your kids.
Mm.
So just have that two-way conversation. And if they know that they can come and talk to you about stuff, then that's kind of how you get to the bottom of this.
My friend was telling me about, I think it's the same one, it's how you bring up your children. Well, oh, I can't remember. I'll try and remember it, but it was something very similar to that. I can't remember who did it though. But it's a book that I really want to read, and it's basically just saying how you should bring... I'm not going to go into it.
Is it the Philippa Perry book?
Is it that?
I had her on the podcast a few months ago.
You?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a psychotherapist.
I was going to try and get it up.
It's all about how you were brought up as a kid, and then
how
that affects how you how you parent your children.
Yeah. And no, I really want to read
it. You should read it. It's brilliant.
Is it?
It's amazing. Yeah.
Okay,
and it really makes you think about why you do. I mean, obviously, you were talking about how, you know, the positives of how you parent India and how you're being influenced by your mum. But it also talks about maybe negative things, and it's one of those books that is a little bit uncomfortable to read.
I feel like even you just saying that, I'm like, okay, what are the negatives? I think my negative would be the fact because my mum literally, I know most mums would die for their children, but my mum literally, like, that's all she thinks about is what I do every day. And like she says, I haven't got a life. All I do is live my life vicariously through you, and like you are the one thing that it's she calls it quite unhealthy, actually. And I feel like I've got to be quite careful, because I'm kind of like, I don't want to do that to India, because it'll end up, when she buggers off and gets a boyfriend or whatever, I'll be a state at home.
You'll be bereft.
And you've got to kind of get yourself together a little bit, like, okay, cool. She has to go away every other weekend with her dad. That's quite, like, really hard for me. So you kind of have to go, right, no, actually, I've got to put a... got to be kind of sensible about this.
And also, that's actually probably quite healthy for you and for her.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
You know, I always think this, that, you know, sending your kids to nursery or preschool or whatever, as awful and hard as it is to begin with, and it is, like those first settling in sessions, or like leaving your toddler crying and thinking, oh my God, I'm the worst parent ever. But actually, in the long run, it's such a good thing to do. And I think that it is getting that, encouraging that independence and, you know,
absolutely,
and giving yourself some space as well.
It's
so important, isn't
it?
I read something about how you had been mum shamed around babysitting. Tell me about that. Were you using a babysitting app?
So it was actually Bubble, and basically I did a post about it ages ago, because I started using it a couple of years ago, and.
So it's an app that you can log on and you can find a babysitter.
You find trusted babysitters in the local area. And they have to go through so many different checks to get on the app in the first place. But it was very new and no one had ever heard of it before. And it's kind of... I can understand why some people might think it's scary. But it's been going for a few years now. And I've just invested in it because I absolutely love it.
Oh,
and
really?
I use it, yeah. But long story short, it was this comment, one comment, and it said, oh, I bet you don't even use this app and you're promoting it. And actually, I use it. I've used it for a couple of years and I love it.
Mm.
And that's why I've invested in it. And it's basically giving you the opportunity to get you time back again. Not just going to get your hair and makeup done or going to the gym in the morning. So I use it for just maybe an hour to go to the gym in the morning for 45 minutes. So they come to their house, so you can get the same babysitter who you trust and love. Or you can mix it up a bit and you can read their profiles, check them out, what they've got, what they do. I mean, half of them are midwives or teachers anyway, and they've got a lot more experience than I have. But you basically, and they come within 20 minutes to your house, and they're amazing. And because of that, India, again, is so confident. Mm. And she just gets, they get straight on the floor, start playing, and it's really great to see. And you can even get them in when you want to do a bit of housework around the house, or, you know, do some work upstairs. Like, it's, you don't have to leave the house with them, so you can really... It's not for everyone, but I think it's because it's something new.
Get them in so you can have a little nap.
Exactly. And they're brilliant. And I tell my mum friends about it all the time. They're like, oh my God, that's really saved me. Because even some relationships that you want to go out last minute. You can't be spontaneous when you're a parent anymore.
No,
really.
Ever.
But this allows you to be a bit spontaneous. Yeah. And I've not had one bad experience. And I would recommend it highly, because it's been really good for me. And getting some me time back again.
That's really interesting, actually, because I remember maybe a couple of years ago seeing Instagram, like mums on Instagram that I know, advertising Bubble. And at the time I was quite kind of like, ooh, I'm not sure about that. Mm-hmm. But hearing you talk about it just now, it's making me think, oh, maybe I'll look into this.
Oh my God.
You're doing a really good job at selling it.
Well, it's not even, I think the first one's always quite scary. I get that. So get them to come in whilst you're doing some housework. And you can just, like, watch them, observe them. You can ask other parents on the app what they've thought. And, you know, you can get so much information before you actually book them.
Yeah.
And they're all, I mean, like I said, they're all brilliant.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because, like, you know, going back to the mum-shaming things. I do remember when these mums that I know on Instagram were promoting Bubble, there were quite a lot of negative comments.
Of
people saying,
be.
I can't believe you would use an
app.
It's like, you know, I think people were comparing it to Uber. Like, oh, you're basically, you know, you're getting a stranger around. How on earth could you do this? You're a bad mum.
But then that's kind of what our parents did when they first met a babysitter. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how you kind of originally meet someone. You don't know them immediately coming into the house. You know, back in the day, my parents used to have to ask their friends' kids to come look after us. And they weren't qualified. They had no idea. They were just kids.
They would just sit on the sofa.
And, you know, half of them couldn't drive. Probably were, you know, whatever. At least, and it was difficult to kind of arrange. But this is just, they're all so checked. And it's, and of course it's, people are comparing it to Uber because it's a tech. It's an app.
Mm.
And, but it is the most trusted app you can get.
Like, I think people are a bit suspicious of anything like that, aren't they? That is app-based.
Anything new, like, people didn't want to get an Uber because it's someone driving.
I didn't.
No.
My best mate had to basically call me an Uber on her account for the first time ever. This was years ago. Mm. So I was just like, there is no way I'm getting into that random man's car.
Everyone was terrified.
She was like, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. They're all checks, you know.
Yeah, but like, I would never compare Uber and Bubble sitter nannies the same. But these are way more checked, obviously, than Ubers. But it's... It's really, I think it's going to be huge. I really do. I believe in it massively because it's helped me and my friends beyond belief. Even if I have a shoot, I'll get someone to meet me at the studio and they'll literally just play with her whilst I get the shots done and they'll come and they'll go back. It's so easy.
That's
it's
really
so
handy.
So really, really amazing.
Yeah. It's been so nice to chat to you.
Lovely chatting to you too.
Thank you for the cup of Earl Grey tea. It was really nice.
Was it good?
I feel a little bit like I might go home and buy myself some Earl Grey.
Do it.
You've converted me.
I love that. Yes, I might have to start thinking of twinings now.
before we finish, what advice would you have for anyone who feels like they are being mum shamed? So, you know, by a friend on Facebook, by someone on Instagram, they feel a little bit like they're being judged for some kind of parenting thing.
You can always. I love the mute button, so you can't see them or hear about them, or just delete, block. I love that block button.
It's quite extreme though, isn't it? Especially if it's somebody who you're mates with.
I hate confrontation, so I'm not really one for bringing something up unless it is really starting to bother me. And there's been a few times where I've had to speak to, not mums, but friends. Obviously, like, we all have fallouts with our friends occasionally, and you just have to be honest. Get a bottle of wine, sit down, have a few glasses, and you feel the confidence and just say something.
Yeah.
And do you know what? Half the time, they probably have no idea they're doing it. And also, half the time, I remember my best friend, she had baby number two, two under two, and she really struggled with number two. And I felt she was being really short with me and really flippant and a bit of a bitch, actually. I was like, God, she's talking to her, like, kind of really petty. And turned out, she messaged me out of the blue a few months later. I left it. I was like, do you know what? I'm just not going to bother. Like, she can come to me when she wants to apologise or just be normal with me. And she said, I've actually really suffered. I'm suffering from postnatal depression and I'm finding it really hard. And I'm sorry if you feel like I haven't been there or whatever, but I'm really, really struggling. And I was like, oh my God, okay, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I just thought you were being a bitch. Do you know what I mean? And if it is other mums, I mean, our hormones are going up and down all over the place. We're all bloody exhausted. We've all got something going on, let's face it. So just, I think you've just got to kind of take that on board as well.
Give people the benefit of the doubt. Absolutely. And think about what they might be going through.
Yeah.
It's natural, I think, to kind of focus, you centre things on yourself quite often.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And you think that it's about you, and actually quite often it's just about them and what they're going through.
And I think also just don't ever compare. I've struggled with not comparing on Instagram. I can look at like the perfect, like, you know, mummy and daddy and their baby, and it's like, oh God, I feel so bad, blah, blah, blah. But actually, you have no idea what's going on. Like, again, you have no idea what's going on behind closed doors.
Do you know what I tend to do as well? And this is crazy. But I kind of like look through my Instagram feed and I almost compare myself to everyone else collectively.
Yeah.
So I'm like, she's got an amazing house.
Yeah.
She's got really cute kids. You know, oh wow, look at her amazing outfit.
Yeah.
And so in my mind, I'm comparing myself to everybody together, which is, how are you ever going to, you know, be that person?
No, exactly. But also, my mum always says comparison is the thief of happiness, and it's so true.
Yeah.
I remember like feeling so shit, really let low. I think India had gone for the weekend. I just felt really tired, and I had my greys sprouting out my head. I felt just frank. And mum said, I just called my mum in tears. I was like, I'm really feeling weird. She said, go to the hairdressers, get your greys done, and do a bit of retail therapy. Just go to Zara and get a couple of something to make you happy. And I did, and having my greys done made, I mean, oh my God, I feel like I'm getting so much older. I get excited by Hoovers and having my greys done.
But it
really did help. Like, and I think that's another thing, that bubble is great. It does allow you to go and have that new time again. Go and get your nails done. I love having a spray tan. Like, you know, just make yourself feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
And go on a date with your husband, boyfriend, whatever. Go and have like a romantic night out. Or even romantic night in. Just get someone to look after the kids if they're waking up, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think self-care is such a huge thing. We talk about a lot at Mummy Tribe, and it's so important. Because without self-care, you can't be the best version of yourself for your kids.
You can't. On that note, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you.
It has been such a treat.
Oh, brilliant. It's been amazing. Thank you so much. Bless you for coming.
Binky was so, so lovely. I would quite happily pop round next week for another cup of Earl Grey. So Binky, if you're up for that, just let me know. But thank you for listening, as always. Please hop onto iTunes and rate and review and subscribe to the podcast, and I'll catch up with you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.